Well, hello. Today we're talking about something that affects nearly every charity in the country, and that is banking. And specifically, what happens when your bank changes the way they do things, the things that you've got used to over the years, even if you've grumbled about them, you know what you're doing, then there's change. Our guests today are from CathBank, an organisation that's recently been through, maybe still going through, a major digital transformation. In this conversation, we're going to dig into the why. Behind every change, we always think about the why, the purpose of it. Why did CathBank make the changes they've made? What was the thinking behind that? And we're going to explore what charities can learn from this experience. You might be dealing with your own bank changing their systems or thinking about digital change within your organization. Importantly, we'll look ahead. So this is a conversation about lessons learned, practical advice, and the bigger picture facing charities today. Welcome to Ali Taylor, CEO of CathBank, and Richard Hunt, Director of Customer and Lending.
Oh, hi there. Hi, Claire.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Shall we start with the big picture context? How would you describe the current environment for both charities and banks? What are some of the challenges you're seeing at the moment?
So I think the first thing I'd say we probably all need to acknowledge just how intertwined the two sectors are. But all of us who are active in the charity sector, the ability to hold and look after our money and move it around safely is incredibly important. The charity sector at the moment, and I do feel like I've said this many times, but it never feels more critical than at this stage. The charity sector is continuing to operate in a landscape shaped by inflationary cost pressures, the growing competition for funding, and ever-increasing demand for services. Our parent organisation, Charities Aid Foundation, undertakes continuous research with donors and with charities. And we've just published our CAF UK Charity Insights for 2025. And they showed 44% of charity leaders citing cost rises as one of their main challenges, that 83% of charities are recording an increase in demand for services over the last 12 months. And only 30% of charity leaders think that the sector is in a healthy position. And I just think, these are really concerning stats for anyone that passionately believes in the role of charities in the UK economy and in society, which is very much the role that we want to support charities to fulfil from CathBank. We've seen donating and volunteering falling to their lowest level in a decade. And I think for anyone really interested in understanding UK giving trends, the CAF UK Giving Report for 2025 is also now freely available on the CAF website. And there has so much detailed analysis in there. I really recommend anyone that's interested to just download your copy of that and have a read. From a banking perspective, we continue to see a number of banks delivering a poor proposition for charities. And I know, Claire, you and CFG have done so much work in this space. So I know you will recognize what I'm talking about. Their digital journeys are designed for businesses, and they often struggle to be navigable by charities when they come to do their online banking. And in particular, we see challenges around KYC and CDD, which often impacts the ability to make international payments in particular. So for charities seeking to make payments of aid to high-risk jurisdictions, that can be really challenging. And so it's all of those issues that we see charities struggling with that we want to address through CathBank, and that's why we've gone through the transformation that we have.
So that's a really comprehensive picture, Ali. And interesting, talking that 44% of charity leaders are seeing cost rises as a pressure, that can be one of the triggers for digital transformation, but also so can trying to improve systems and how you interact with your customers or your service users or the people, your beneficiaries. So what was it that made CathBank's digital transformation necessary? What were your key drivers to go down this road?
There's a number of overlapping drivers. The needs of our customers to have same-day payments, to have access to a greater range of information in one place, to have a much more flexible online banking system is something that they've fed back to us extensively over the years, and that we needed to do. There's an item around future-proofing ourselves as a bank about making sure that we're able to adapt to changing needs as they come through. And we've seen that through things like confirmation of payee that have been developed over the last couple of years. So making sure that the bank's able to deliver those changes as they come through in a way that's seamless. There's a really important piece about scalability. We are absolutely evangelical, I'd say, about the need for specialist banks and the need for banks that understand the sector. But to do that, we need to scale. We need to serve more customers in the sector, and we need to offer a viable alternative to the high street. And our previous platform had reached the end of its scalability. So there was a need to build that capacity in. And last but not least, there's a technology driver. Technology changes, and the pace of technology change increases over time. The ability to move to cloud computing, the ability to have the security that provides, and to manage some of our risk on that front is really important. So you get those items all overlapping and all coming together that creates a need to do this kind of major project, and they are major projects.
That's one of the huge challenges with change, isn't it? Because sometimes you can make incremental change and you can keep improving, and sometimes you just have to go for the big bang. So when you're thinking about change, and I guess this is where we can broaden it out a bit for all sorts of models of change and big projects, but how did you prepare for change? Because you've got a huge range of different stakeholder groups, as any charity will be if they're going through a big process of change or transformation. How did you sort out those stakeholder groups? How did you prioritise them? What worked? What didn't? What, I suppose, the key, you know, the obvious question, what would you do differently next time? Talk us through some of that, Richard.
Absolutely. As you say, an immense question. And you know, we start by thinking about our customer base and our staff team. But there are a tremendous number of stakeholders involved in any big transformation project. And part of the discovery at the start is just making sure you have those stakeholders mapped, identified, and all onboarded. If we think about banking, the simple delivery of a faster payment from one end to the next involves a number of partners making sure their systems integrate properly. And so that stakeholder management is really important. But let's think about our customers, because I think they're a really good microcosm of where change management happens, and something that probably is quite applicable to most people as they think about those that interact on a transformation. The first thing I'll say, it's a long process. I mean, for us, this kicked off in earnest in 2020 for a delivery in 2025. Wow. Not quite intended to be that long, I think that'd be fair to say. There was a small pandemic in the middle. But, you know, that aside, it's a long process even without that. What you're looking to do is to make sure that you bring your contact points for us, our customers, on board at the appropriate point in that journey. If you bring them on too early, then you lose their interest and their attention, and you promise things that you're not yet in a position to deliver versus bringing them on too late. And you've got to think through as you work through that process all of the risks involved. So for us, there's risks around people not being informed and able to access their banking. But there's also risks about fraud and opening up our customers to fraud attacks by providing too much information too early that allows those bad actors to act. So you're trying to balance those various factors as we go through. For us, the customer comms campaign started in earnest back in summer 2024 for a summer 2025 launch. Again, it's probably something that fits with many other organisations. The first stage on that was about having clean data. Now, I suspect banks are not alone in having people that haven't quite updated the information they hold with them. And so we started with a process of doing that. And I think one of the learnings that we'd share with other people is that you need to do those two things in multiple ways. So, for instance, for updating details, not only did we communicate directly with customers, we had a process of when people called in asking them to update their details, and we had on our online banking prompt screens to go and update the details. And assuming that one method will reach all is simply not viable. It's about having multiple ways through. We then saw a very well-tracked process based upon email communications going out to customers. And one of the things that we did was to plan that through to make sure that we distributed different bits of information only to the people that were relevant to them. For us, that was about thinking about user groups and thinking about changes that would particularly affect those user groups and communicating that information to them so that the email that came through to people was relevant to them. and they had something to engage with rather than receiving irrelevant information. And certainly some of the feedback we had was that that helped people make sure they prioritise those. One of the other things that we saw was that we were able to track some metrics and not track others. And you can track open rates, but you can't always track action rates. And what you can't necessarily track is where information is passed on to and making sure it gets to the relevant user. So one of the things that we'd feedback to others is to think about making sure that the distribution is wide enough within the people that interact. And that's particularly with charities. You know, the vast majority of UK charities are small local organisations powered by volunteers. And as most of us volunteer, I think we'd all say that there's never quite enough volunteering hours to go round. And therefore, what we often find is that people doing banking are holding other roles and doing other things. And therefore, it's important to try and help them get the information across to the other users in their organisation that may need it. We also find there's a tremendous variety of structures within UK charities. So the wonderfulness of our sector is its diversity, but that also means that the way you deliver a message lands in a different way for different organisations, depending on who they've chosen to be their key contacts. When we also think about preparing for change, we also think about what we did in terms of expecting a surge in contact. And so for us, part of that was taking some of our business development resource and repurposing all of that to preemptive customer contact before the event. So we know that there's a tremendous range of customer interaction with CAF Bank, from small local charities that might have reasonably minimal interaction to some fairly major names that have lots of interaction, and making sure that we've identified those where they may need an extra helping hand and reached out to them beforehand to make sure they were aware and looking forward to what was coming through. And then doing that again afterwards. So after we'd passed that transition place, and for CAF Bank this year, this was a big bang movement that happened in June, having those resources that normally would be devoted to other roles put onto proactive call contact, reactive calls, etc., increased size of call centre teams, and making sure that as much as we can, we're reaching everyone. Now, we know that the first week or two were significantly challenging in terms of incoming call volumes. I think we had 10 times more calls in a day in the first week. CAF Bank historically has a call wait time of under 2 minutes, which meant that when it was definitely not under 2 minutes and was significantly longer, that was almost even harder to bear. We saw that move, and we saw us increase the number of staff, and we took the increased levels and continued increasing them all through those first few weeks. One of the things we'd feedback to other people thinking about digital transformation is expect the nature of the queries to change. So we saw the start points being very quick, easy queries where people may not have got the message, but people may not have tagged something as a piece of spam rather than identifying it. So 3-4 weeks down the line, much more detailed, nuanced queries about their particular areas. And so thinking about how your staff will need to react to that and supporting them around resilience.
A huge amount to think about there, Richard. And that, you know, when we started off talking about all the different groups of stakeholders, it's come really clear that you were focused really heavily on your customers. Whenever we make a new product or develop a new service, there's always that iterative stage where we go, oh, we need to change this bit. Have you had any changes to make since the Big Bang? But also, what have you got planned for the future? Because you've talked about this being scalable and future-proof. So what's coming down the track?
We certainly have been making a lot of changes since the launch. So we've been listening intently to our customer feedback, whether positive or negative. And to be honest, it's been invaluable in enhancing the proposition that we're offering and prioritising that ongoing change agenda, which, you know, frankly, now we are in a sort of continuous change. A lot of that will be small, but there are some bigger product changes coming through as well. So I think at this stage, we've been able to put through high volumes of necessary changes since our go live in June. And that has been brilliant. That's something that we've really struggled with in the past on our legacy systems. We're always quite nervous of making changes, to be honest. And this now having the ability ability to be so much more agile and to change at pace is an absolute game changer for us. So particular areas that I'd call out since launch, enabling customers to connect properly with QuickBooks, improving search functionality, and probably the biggest area of challenge that we had for some customers was our bulk payments process. And we have to hold our hands up to that, right? We didn't have a good enough understanding of how some of our customers used bulk payments functionality, and we didn't design it to cover all of the use cases that customers had previously had. And I think that's our single biggest area of challenge for customers by a long way. So we've done a huge amount of work to rebuild that and to think about alternative options for customers that are using it in a far more extensive way than we had perhaps ever anticipated. So that's something that we're still rolling out the final versions of that. And really, in terms of the future, you know, this is just the start for CAFBank of providing better services for charities. We're aiming to double and then treble our customer numbers over the next few years. We want to expand the proposition for larger charities, like I said, and particularly there, I think, looking at growing our lending and our green financing options. We've got new products to launch around revolving credit facilities and other loan types, and also around term deposits, which unbelievably on our legacy system, we couldn't properly offer. So I'm so relieved that we're getting to the point where all of these things that we've had in on our wish list for a long time will finally be able to bring to fruition.
It sounds like an exciting future for your customers and for everybody at CAFBank as well. And it's a useful reminder, I suppose, that whether you work in a bank supporting charity accounts or whether you work in a charity, however you volunteer, whatever role you take, we're all part of the charity ecosystem. We're all here to try and make the world a better place for the people and communities that we serve. And it sounds as though you're giving that a huge amount of thought.
If I could just jump in on that quickly, Claire, if you don't mind. One of the things that has been really heartening for us is exactly that sense of ownership, I think, that many in the sector have towards CAFBank. It really is, it is the bank for the sector. You know, that's what we're trying to be, you know, and we are mission-led in what we do. And I think we have really felt, even at points that have been really difficult for us, when, you know, the last thing we ever want to do is disappoint any of our customers. And in the toughest couple of weeks, when the bulk payments processes were tough and we had high call volumes, you know, those were really hard for all of our staff, and we were intensely worried about it. And I think one of the best things was the amount of goodwill that we felt from most of our customers and you know, just stakeholders across the sector towards us. I think, yeah, that was huge, and it really carried the organisation through those tougher couple of weeks.
Yeah, because we talked, that sounds good, because we talked about some of our stakeholders, and of course our staff, or our staff and volunteers in the charity sector, are pretty much our high value, high interest, high power stakeholders. So it's so important to look after them. We've got a focus at the moment across the sector on well-being and caring for each other in quite challenging times. And I think that's coming across there. What would you share with other organisations, or you know, what's your key learning from going through a big transformation project? What should people think about at the beginning, and what will they be relieved about at the end? Is there ever an end? I'll let you
know. I feel like both of us could probably talk about this for hours. To get to a few sort of pithier lessons learned, I think actually, One of the key points I'd call out is not getting to the point where you've almost left it too late and you've got really hard deadlines that you're up against. If it's a large scale transformation, you need a lot of time for planning, for requirements gathering, for execution, and then for customer readiness, for staff readiness. There's a lot of phases to work through, and you need the proper time to do those really thoroughly. So I think it's really tempting for organisations to look at these digital transformation aspirations and think, my goodness, that looks hard. I might leave that for the next crew. or I'll just wait to do this bit of work over here, or I'll just do this feasibility study. That's where a lot of programs go wrong, where you end up, you know, just having to rush something that is incredibly complex and high risk to deliver. So being realistic about the timeline, absolutely fundamental. Equally, getting the very best people, the best experience that you can possibly afford on the pitch. And that's difficult for so many of us. If you're a small organisation, chances are that your team will not have been through anything like this previously, and you will need to import that experience, and it is really expensive. So being realistic about that, I think, is key. And then I guess really expecting that there will be challenges along the way and having the resilience to deal with that. And if somebody has to have the broad shoulders that keeps everybody motivated and confident that come what may, you are going to deliver this, that can be quite a tall order. All of us, I think, on the bank executive and in our board as well, there were definitely moments of deep challenge where you really question. And I think then you've got to have your eyes on the outcomes that you're trying to deliver and the positive benefit that you're trying to bring for your customers, not just for your own organisation.
I think that's so true. I think one of the guiding principles for us is about being really clear about what the outcome you're trying to get to, not the thing, but the output, the impact that that's going to have. I think there's something also about understanding that in digital transformation, actually, the technology is only part of it, and that the people and the process and the stakeholders are equal and at times bigger parts of it, and that the bit that you do in the middle with the tech will only be just that, the bit that enables it. And I think there's something else about, and you said earlier, Claire, about does change ever end? And there's probably an understanding now that change doesn't ever end. And that actually, this is about putting yourself into a position where you can manage incremental change safely and repeatedly. I'd very much, for anyone that's starting to consider their own digital transformation, I'd very much think about what comes after it as you start it. So to not believing that once you're finished, you're going to be in the sunny uplands where you never have to change again, but understanding that this will be the start of a new process of continual improvements.
That's really a good note to end on there, really, Richard, before kind of wrap up, is that change isn't going to stop, because look at the pace of change that's all around us. If we don't lean into that some of the time, at least, we will be ending up in that situation where everything needs to change because we've left it all too late. I think from our perspective here at CFG, where we're implementing a new CRM, it does feel like it's so important, as you say, not to say it's about the shiny thing, but it is about all of the things that the shiny thing will help you do, and all of the different ways you'll be able to work, and the different ways you'll be able to meet the needs of your beneficiaries and meet your charitable objectives, or in your case, you know, meet your business needs and meet your customers' needs. And you started your process in 2020. It's now 2025. We've had a pandemic, of course. Let's not forget that. If there's one thing we know about the charity sector, it's that people are adaptable and people are committed and prepared to do what they can to make lives better for everybody, as I said earlier. It feels like the key takeaways here come into two categories. First is around digital transformation, I guess, which is things like throw the rubbish out before you move house, clean your data, get your data in as good a shape as it can be, send it to data boot camp, because you don't want to have the hassle of moving 100,000 pieces of data that are actually irrelevant when you could move 40,000 of really valuable bits of data. You want to be taking all of the people with you and really building that sense of excitement and optimism and passion into the change project, because you want your data systems to be supporting data-led decision-making and helping people do their jobs more effectively and support your customers or your beneficiaries more effectively. But that bigger piece, that's really around culture. Can I throw in one more question that wasn't on my question list, Ali, which is, Has this had an impact on the culture at the bank, the big change? How have you protected the positive culture?
I think that's really interesting, actually. It has had impacts, and I think one of the things I reflect on now is it's given us a lot more confidence as an organization. I think doing something of this magnitude, and if I may, compared to some larger institutions, although we have had some regrettable moments and we have caused some difficulty, and I don't shy away from that for a moment. Compared to the scale of the risks that there are in a large transformation project, I think many of our people feel rightly proud of the job that we've done as a very little bank. And I think we've got confidence in our ability to deliver change and to do hard things in a way that we just didn't have before. So that's probably one of the most sort of critical benefits, I think, from our perspective, alongside the fact that nothing has embedded our customer-centric focus like this, because the whole thing has been about what can we deliver for customers, how can we grow to serve more, how can we grow to serve better. And what more can we do? And I think because that's gone right across the organization, it's not just the frontline teams, every part of the bank has been involved in that journey. Everyone now really understands we're all either serving our charity customers or we're helping our colleagues to do it. I think that has really embedded, and I'm really pleased with that. And it's also the risk management piece, our broader understanding of collaboration between different areas of the organization, all of those internal aspects as well, I think we've had significant benefits from.
So that team building can certainly be a part of the benefits of a big transformation. So really the key takeaways there are lean into change because it's coming whether you like it or not. Make sure you go along, make a plan. It will take longer than you think it's going to take. Try and get the best expertise you can find. And ultimately, I think there's an element there of also it's going to be hard, but enjoy the ride because you will learn a lot from it. And your teams will learn a lot from it, and they will grow as a team if you can nurture that culture that surrounds you while you're going through change. A few things that you might want to look at as listeners, there's numerous resources on banking and on digital transformation on CFG's website. Particularly, you might also want to look at CAFBank's Charity Resource Hub. And please share your feedback or any questions you've got for the CFG team via all our communication channels here at CFG. Stay tuned for future episodes, obviously. I'd really like to thank Ali Taylor and Richard Hunt from CAFBank for giving up their time to talk to us today. I could listen to and talk about banking challenges for a very long time. Today, they've shone a lot of light on the change that they've been through at CAFBank. And I'd like to really also thank you for your honesty and your openness about sharing the journey that you've been on and that we're still on. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Claire. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.